back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. In this second half hour, we're going to deal with the story that's been really rocking Washington and across the nation. It has to do with Donald Trump Jr., who met with someone who said that they were working for the Russian government in order to find dirt on Hillary Clinton. Now, it wasn't just Donald Trump Jr. In fact, it was then-campaign manager Paul Manafort and famous son-in-law, President's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who, of course, is working with security clearance in the government now. Not so sure he should get that security clearance or keep it. The heart of the matter, and Donald Trump Jr. has changed his story twice about it so far, the latest comes from emails that the New York Times was about to disclose when Donald Trump Jr. beat them to it. So there's no dispute that these emails exist. And I'll just read to you, well, a few of them. This is an email from Rob Goldstone, who's kind of a promoter who the Trumps worked with back in the Miss Universe pageant when it was in Moscow. And he said that the Crown Prosecutor, this is Rob Goldstone writing Donald Trump Jr., the Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, Aras, this morning. That's the father of Amin, a Russian rock star that worked closely with the Trumps. Aras is a Russian oligarch who has real estate dealings and is very close with Putin. Anyway, Goldstone says the Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his Amin's father, Aras, this morning, and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. To your father, Donald Trump Jr. Again, quoting from the email, quote, this is obviously very high-level and sensitive information, but it's part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump. Got it? The Russian government support for Mr. Trump. What do you think is the best way to handle this information? I could also send to your father, but it's ultra-sensitive, so wanted to send to you first. Donald Trump's response, if it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer. He writes back 17 minutes later, and this was the genesis of the meeting with the Russian attorney. The title of the email, Russia, Clinton, Private and Confidential. To discuss this matter, I've invited a friend of mine who is a former Republican elected official. He works very hard to get Republicans elected across the country. And one of the reasons I like when Mike Lane comes on the show is, well, he tries to be a reasonable person. This isn't a bunch of, you know, whack job Republicans just saying anything. I think Mike, I respect Mike in the sense that even though we often disagree, let's just say he understands that some things are true and some things are false in a way that some don't. So I don't know if that's a high enough greeting, but thanks, Mike Lane, for coming on the show.
Mark, my pleasure being here. And let's not sugarcoat it. Come on. We disagree about 100% of the time.
We do, except that we disagree agreeably. And that's one of the things I like about you. Let me get to the emails because, as Stephen Colbert last night had a smoking gun to show his thought on this. This is clearly not good. So can we start there? This isn't good for the Trump administration, is it?
No, I mean, you know, all things being equal, it would be much better off for everybody if this email didn't exist rather than it did exist and was released to the public. But I think the fact that Donald Jr. Released it himself means that he has more confidence in the fact that it's not as insidious as people would like to make it out to be, and therefore it's less damaging than it would have been had it been released by the media. So
let's just talk about that. So, I mean, he denied having any contact with the Russians, and then when this came out in the New York Times a couple days ago, he said that, oh, they just talked about adoption with the Russian lawyer. And then when the New York Times says, we have the actual emails and we're going to disclose them, he said, I'll get it done first. And he sent them out a few hours before the New York Times did. That's hardly a model for transparency.
Well, look, let's talk about what the allegations are in the email. It was written by this guy Goldstone, who you set up, I think, fairly nicely as a promoter. You know, a promoter of concerts, a promoter of personalities, and a promoter of himself. And he pitched this meeting to Donald Trump Jr. And we don't know anything about Goldstone's credibility. We don't know anything about Goldstone's actual connections. They may be exactly as they are stated in the email. He may be some high-level connected guy, or he may be some flim-flam artist. We really don't know much about this Goldstone guy at all. So I don't think we can, without further investigation, and I'm not going to take it off the table, that the email is not worthy of anything, because it clearly is. But I think without further investigation, we don't really know how important it is. And part of that investigation is, who is this guy Goldstone?
Well, see, let me suggest to you, Mike, that who Goldstone is, whether he is, Vladimir Putin's right-hand man or a complete flim-flam artist or most likely somewhere in between, really doesn't matter. Let me suggest why it doesn't matter.
Sure,
somebody.
Sure. I'll tell you why it does after that.
Okay. Somebody, Goldstone or someone, all right, writes an email to Donald Trump Jr. And in the email says that the Crown Prosecutor of Russia has information that will incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia, that it's high level and sensitive, and, quote, is part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, unquote. It seems to me, and of course, Donald Trump Jr.'s response is, if it's what you say, I love it. And then, of course, they meet. Now, it is a crime to attempt to conspire with a foreign government to commit espionage. It's a crime to take stolen information, knowing it's stolen, and spread it. Just like it's a crime, for example, if someone steals a car and I know it's stolen and then I sell it to someone else, that's you know, laundering. That's like there's money laundering. You can – selling stolen property is a crime. It's also a crime to get information to help your campaign from a foreign official, particularly an adversary. Now, one of the things that the KGB did for generations, and of course Vladimir Putin's an ex-KGB agent, and that the Russians still do today, is something called kompromat. And what kompromat is, it's basically a way to get someone to work for you as a – sometimes an unwitting, sometimes a stupid – foreign agent. And what they do is they get you to compromise yourself a little bit, and then they can get you to compromise yourself a little bit more. What Donald Trump Jr. said to Rob Goldstone, whether or not Goldstone offered him anything in reality, Goldstone offered to give Trump Jr. a chance to break the law. Jr. said, I love it. I can't wait to break the law. Please. I want to collude with the Russians. I'm all in. An attempt to collude is a crime even if you don't succeed, just like an attempt to rob a bank is a crime even if you don't succeed, even if there's no money in the vault. If someone says to you, hey, you want to commit this crime with me? And you say, yes, I'm gung-ho, and then you try to commit it, it doesn't matter whether you succeed or not. I would suggest to you that no matter who Rob Goldstone is, and we will eventually find out, it's Donald Trump's eagerness to commit this crime, the fact that he brings in the campaign manager and the son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and sends them the email so they are fully aware of what's going on here as well. And they all three are there. It tells me, one, they're not surprised that Russia's trying to help Donald Trump, which, you know, Trump claimed later he didn't know that Russia was trying to help him. Well, you know, he says so right here in the email. But two, that this eagerness to help, that to me is a crime in and of itself, whether or not he succeeded.
Well, Mark, I would disagree with the fact that it's a crime in and of itself. Look, here's the question. What was the information, if anything, that was being proffered here? Let's go back to the lawyer, Natalia, whatever her last name is.
Vetelnitskaya.
Yeah, much easier just to call her Badenoff or something like that.
No, call her Natalia.
The first question. Well, no. The first question I had is who is this promoter? The second question I have is Natalia. Who is she? Was she indeed an agent of the Russian government, or was that just something that that Goldstone was pitching out there in an attempt to set up a meeting in return for a consulting fee from Natalia to get her inside the door? I'm not saying it wasn't legitimate. I'm not saying she wasn't an agent. I'm saying we don't have any information yet that she was. And we need to have more information, more investigation, before we jump to any conclusions that she was an agent of the government. So far, all we have, two things. We have Goldstone saying that she was somehow connected to the Crown Prince of the judicial system.
Crown
and
prosecutor.
We have her, after the fact, saying, no way, you know, I was not and am not and would not be an agent of the Russian government. So we need more information.
Well, let me back up. Let me back up with what we know. Before we get to Rob Goldstone or Veselnitskaya, and we can talk about their connections and all, let's just get to some real basic points. When Goldstone tells Junior that Russia's government is supporting Mr. Trump, he expresses no surprise. He doesn't say, really? The Russian government supporting Dad? I didn't know that. He doesn't even say, you know, wow or cool or thanks. He actually doesn't even – it's no big deal to him. He just says, if what you say, I love it. Does it surprise you that Junior expresses no surprise when he hears, very matter-of-factly, it's part of the Russian government's support for Mr. Trump? Doesn't it suggest to you that he had some prior email or some prior knowledge about the Russian government's support for Mr. Trump? And this is just a follow-up. He already knows Russia's supporting his dad, and this is just part of that conversation.
No, maybe not. I don't know D. Jr. I don't know what his personality is like. I don't know how he reacts to those things. It certainly seems to me that his reaction in the email was enthusiastic enough that it could be termed as a first learning of the whole thing. But, you know, I think this is what the investigation will come up with. And, you know, we read in the paper this morning that both the Intelligence Committee and the Special Counsel will be talking to Junior, and we'll find out the answers to those questions. But, you know, in and of itself, taking the meeting, you're trying to set up as a violation of some law, and I don't think it is, unless we have specific knowledge that this is illegal information that's going to be coming our way, such as stolen information from Hillary's server.
Again, let's quote the email. The email says, and this is a direct quote, this is official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia. And he goes on to say, this is Goldstone's email, quote, this is obviously very high-level and sensitive information, but it's part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump, unquote. And later on, he goes on to say, it's ultra-sensitive. You know.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I'll say it again. If I was getting paid $25,000 to set up a meeting, I'd exaggerate, too.
No, I get Goldstone's motivation. I really don't care much about Goldstone. I mean, he can share a jail cell next to Donald Trump or not. My point is that Junior knew he was dealing with something that was ultra sensitive. All right. I mean, clearly, Junior believed Goldstone. Whether you or I, Mike, would have believed Goldstone, clearly Junior fell for it if it was a part of a compromise plot. Whether it's true or false, he bought
right.
it. Let
me meet you halfway on that, Mark. What Junior bought into was whatever they were peddling, he wanted to see.
That's right.
He didn't necessarily know what they were peddling. He didn't necessarily know whatever they were peddling may have been illegal or illegal or whatever. But whatever they were peddling, he wanted to see, which brings us to the next question, which is, okay, once they got together face-to-face, what information passed hands? What was it?
See, to me, that's almost less important, although I do think we're going to find out a lot more about that. But, Mike Lane, you have represented, you have worked for I don't know how many Republican campaigns, well over a dozen, probably many, many dozen.
Zillions.
Okay. So I'm sure this didn't happen in your campaigns, but let's say you were working for a campaign for Republican candidate XYZ, and you got an email from someone saying, I have ultra-sensitive information from the Russian government. The Russian government supports your candidate, XYZ. It's dirt on the opposing candidate. Would you meet with them, Mike, or would you call the FBI?
Okay, let me tell you what actually has happened.
Okay.
And it's not so much different from what you're setting up here. When you're running a campaign, you receive information and offers from information on a daily basis, sometimes more than daily. People who think they have stuff, people who want to get close inside the campaign, people who want a meeting for other reasons, you're always getting it. So what you do is you assess the credibility of the person who's making the offer, you assess the credibility of what they're proffering that they have, and then you either take the meeting or you don't take the meeting. In a case like this, I would set the meeting up, but I would not personally be involved in the meeting. It's a little bit too sketchy, to use a good word. And I would, you know, the Clintons wrote the book on this. You know,
campaigns, is it fair to say that you've never gotten one that said it was from the Russian government with all this information?
I never ran a presidential campaign, so I think that that's pretty fair to say.
Right, exactly. And you might well know, and I bet you do know, that there is a law against foreign governments giving anything of value to a campaign. It's not just monetary. It would include any kind of, well, to use the layman's term, collusion. You just can't do that.
Here it is, Mark. If it's opposition research, the question is, where did the oppo come from? And some oppo has a street value because you do. There are people who do this for a living, and you pay for it. Such as the DNC paid for the oppo on Donald Trump. You know, when he was over in Russia with the two hookers in Obama's bedroom. So what you do is
actually, I don't think the DNC paid for that. I think that. Someone. I think they supplied it to the FBI? I think they gave it to the FBI, didn't they?
No, I don't think they gave it to the FBI. I think the DNC paid for it, and it was McCain who gave it to the FBI, as I understand the story. But it's not really important, you know, who gave that to the FBI. The point is, you pay for oppo, it's worth something. If there was information that passed hands from Natalia Venizel, whatever Kaya is, and it was worth something, then it would have been a campaign finance violation without a doubt for them not to have reported that.
Okay, let me just say this. Back in the Bush v. Gore campaign of 2000, some Bush staffer gave to Al Gore's campaign a copy of the debate briefing book that George Bush had used. The Gore campaign not only did not look at that briefing book, they immediately reported it to the FBI, and that person was put in jail. And that, by the way, wasn't even a foreign agent. It was just an American stealing the other team's briefing
book. Right. It was clearly stolen material.
That's right.
Crime, without a doubt.
And so, I think it's pretty clear that any Russian hacking is a crime as well. But I got to take a break, Mike.
Okay,
you want to respond real quick?
Let me just say, in that case, something passed hands. In this case, we don't know if anything passed hands. Let's take the break.
I will say it's an attempt, and Donald Trump Jr. certainly showed the motivation to want to do it. 888-488-MARK, 888-486-2275. When we come back, I'm going to ask Mike Lane if he has any doubt that Daddy knew what Sonny Boy was up to. Right back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Mike Lane. He is a Republican strategist. Actually a resident of my district, and just goes to show you that we Democrats can be friends with Republicans. But I invited him on because, frankly, I find this conduct really hard to defend, and I wanted to see if Mike could defend it. Donald Trump Sr. has been strangely quiet on this. This is a guy who tweets practically everything, calls things witch hunts and nut jobs and, well, all kinds of things. But he didn't even tweet about this except to say through his spokesperson in a press conference where cameras were not allowed that his son was a high quality person, almost like a top line product. But really he's been very strangely silent about this. And I would suggest it's because Donald Trump Sr. knew all along about what was going on. How could he not? His son, his son-in-law, and his campaign manager in the room. There was no one higher in the campaign than those three people. He sent the top people he had there. You know, when I ran for office, my mom and dad helped me out. And, they told me everything, and I told them everything. Mike Lane, is there any doubt in your mind that Donald Trump Sr. knew about this?
Mark, there's three time periods that we should be talking about. Number one was leading up to the meeting. Would he be informed in advance? And, you know, it was set up, as you know, on less than 24 hours' notice. The president was out campaigning every single day. To me, it's plausible that he did not know about it in advance. Now let's go to the other end of the spectrum.
Real quick, sorry.
Hello? Yep.
Yeah, make your point quickly. Sorry, we're running out of time.
Okay. The second thing is, you know, how about later on? I think everybody was being quiet later on. So we're talking about the middle point of view here, the middle time frame. And if it was as inconsequential a meeting.
All right. I got your point, Mike. I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you for coming on the show.